Boston's Cardinal Bernard Law has completed the first day of a deposition in the civil case involving 86 alleged victims of the defrocked priest John Gagan. The suit alleges the cardinal was negligent in supervising Gagan, who's now serving a prison sentence for molesting a 10-year-old boy. A judge ordered the deposition after the Archdiocese backed out of a multi-million dollar settlement with the alleged victims last week. From member station WBUR, Monica Brady Meyerhoff has been reviewing a transcript of the deposition at Suffolk Superior Court, and she joins us. Monica, were there any bombshells?
No, there really weren't, but we did get a clear idea of how Cardinal Law sees his role in the Archdiocese and in the assignment of priests. He said he relies heavily on subordinates to follow through on allegations of sexual abuse. In the transcript, he really sounded like a manager who expects his underlings to do what he wants them to do. For instance, when answering questions about a letter the Archdiocese received back in 1984, this was just after Law was put in charge, this letter came from a woman who claims seven of her nephews were molested by John Gagan. And on the back of the envelope is writing that Cardinal Law acknowledges is his. And it says, quote, "Bishop Daly, urgent, please follow through." Cardinal Law said he doesn't recall reading this letter, but he agrees that note must refer to Bishop Thomas Daly, now head of the Brooklyn Diocese, and that he was his right-hand man and he was expected to follow up on this. Now, Daly left his post a few weeks later, and this matter was left in the hands of Robert Banks, now Bishop of Green Bay, Wisconsin. But a few weeks after this letter from the parishioner arrived, Gagan was reassigned to a new parish, and that's where much of the abuse in this civil lawsuit was alleged to have occurred.
So according to Law's deposition, how did that transfer happen?
Well, Law says he relied on medical advice. I'm quoting from the deposition here. "What I am aware of is my expectation, and that expectation was understood by those who assisted me. It was no one could be assigned unless there were an attestation from someone professionally competent to give it that that person could be safely put in place." But Law said he had no system in place to make sure the right medical experts were involved, and both doctors consulted by the Archdiocese had no expertise in sexual abuse cases. Now, Law also said in this deposition that he had no written policy on how to handle allegations of sexual abuse. So the attorney for the plaintiffs, William Gordon, then asked, quote, "What was the practice that you had in place in 1984 when you were archbishop to deal with this kind of allegation when it comes in?" Answer, "I viewed this as a pathology, as a psychological pathology, as an illness. Obviously, I viewed it as something that had a moral component. It was, objectively speaking, a gravely sinful act. And that's something that one deals with in one's life, in one's relationship to God. But I also viewed this as a pathology, as an illness. And so consequently, I, not being an expert in this pathology, not being a psychiatrist, not being a psychologist, my modus operandi was to rely upon those whom I considered would have reason to consider to have an expertise in that I lacked in assessing this pathology, in assessing what it is that this person could safely do or not do." So again, he's saying he relied on others' advice.
How did he appear to come across today? He's been very heavily criticized for how he's handled this crisis.
He didn't come across as defensive or evasive. According to the transcript, he answered the questions directly. He was thoughtful and nuanced. At one point, he even made a joke because the plaintiff's lawyers were clearly unorganized, and he joked they needed a chronological file. Now, after the deposition, the alleged victim who was chosen to watch the questioning said he thought the cardinal had selective amnesia. But the Archdiocese says Law looks forward to resolving this matter in a fair and equitable manner.
And very briefly, Monica, what happens next?
Lawyers will question Law again under oath on Friday and again on Monday, and this time it will happen at his home in Boston.
Thank you, Monica.
You're welcome.
Monica Brady Meyerhoff, speaking to us from Boston.